100 years ago, in 1907, at a predecessor church to this one, the Methodist Episcopal Church in Pacific Beach, according to the San Diego Union, the Reverend Howe's theme was the church, the place of the soul's awakening. The newspaper further remarked that it was a sermon of beauty and power, and for nearly 1 hour, the audience was held in rapt attention as the pure gospel truth came forth from the heart of the speaker in beautiful simplicity and touching eloquence. Nearly 1 hour. After Dr. Howe's sermon, there were two further addresses, one about the history of the church building, which was being dedicated that day, and one about Christian stewardship. In between was music for the occasion, which the newspaper said was effectively and sweetly rendered. It's always interesting to compare the old days to the present day. One thing I think that we could conclude definitively about the worship services anyway between then and now is that the sermons have gotten much shorter. The music perhaps hasn't changed so much. It is still effective in helping us to praise God and still sweet. The church of 100 years ago, that Methodist Episcopal Church in Pacific Beach, was closed right around the time that World War I started, around about 1918. It disappears from the conference journals. Apparently, at that time, it was felt that distant churches had been built for such a sparsely populated area, and the duplication of effort was inefficient. And so the Presbyterian Church stayed, and the Methodists agreed that they would concentrate their efforts elsewhere. Was the influx of people brought to San Diego by the next Great War that finally convinced Methodists they really did need their own church here in PB? A Reverend McFeeters began to meet with the group that he called the Wee Kirk, that is the little church by the sea. The foundation stone of that Wee Kirk is in our social hall today, and that's the congregation, the group of saints, that gave birth to and chartered the Pacific Beach Methodist Church. We became the United Methodist Church in 1968 when nationwide Methodism joined with several smaller denominations under one umbrella. A church comes into being and is built and grows when people give it their time, their attention, and their effort. In terms of facilities and worship space, somebody had to find the land, locate, construct, and remodel the buildings, raise the necessary funds for purchase and for maintenance. In terms of the ministry, someone, or more accurately, lots of someones, had to plan, organize, promote, fund, and support the various educational outreach, community strengthening, and worship endeavors that take place. The reason that people put so much energy into starting and sustaining a church, I suppose, are many. People want to give glory to God. They like meeting other people and making friends. They want to improve the quality of life in their neighborhood and in their city. But the most important reason, I think, is revealed in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. This is an Easter story, a story that takes place on the same day the tomb was discovered not to contain Jesus' body. And Mary Magdalene reported to the other disciples that she had seen Jesus and conversed with him in the cemetery garden. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Then he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The reason behind all other reasons for starting a church or for being a church is that Jesus has sent us into the world to continue his work. We are the disciples who started out as followers, but when Jesus was crucified and raised, we became his representatives. He conveyed God's Spirit to us so that we could continue his ministry of promoting reconciliation with God. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. It's that simple. We and the others before us dedicate ourselves to building and being the church because Jesus commissioned us to be God's agents of forgiveness and God's ministers of good news. The people who understand most deeply that Jesus has given them the assignment to live God's love and reveal God's kingdom with their every action are the people who make the biggest impact on the lives of others. I know this because I've been reading the memories and testimonies of those who couldn't be here today. Gail sent out a whole lot of invitations, and some people did come a long distance. Here's our Julia all the way back from Salt Lake City, which is really wonderful. Some people made a big effort to get here today. Others thought of us and wanted to be here, and the best they could do was send their thoughts, their good wishes, and their appreciation. So I've had an opportunity, as we approach this day, to read maybe 8 or 10 different letters that have come from friends around the country who at one time or another were members here at the church. And their statements are full of references to specific people. The names and the kindnesses just pile up. John and Virginia and Harry and Elsie welcomed us so warmly. Ken made me feel like I belonged to a family of friends and supporters. Ron and Maggie involved me in the music ministry. OJ's smile was so reassuring. Wayne gave me a ride home from church. He took me to lunch at Hometown Buffet. I enjoyed being in the choir with Arlene and spending time with friends Anita, Lucille, and Janetta. Everybody was so supportive when our son was born. The tributes are filled with specific names and specific events. Very few of the people mentioned in the reminiscences are staff members, and only some of the actions described relate to an official church function or an assigned responsibility. Mostly, this list represents lots and lots of members, lots and lots of words and actions of the people within our congregation who don't wait to be told what to do, but just act with their customary generosity and thoughtfulness because they are so mindful that Jesus himself is the one who gave them that happy task. The task of making others feel welcome, included, cared for, and valued in God's church. If ever there was evidence that Christ's ministry is not the work of one or two people, but of the whole church, this little collection of letters assembled by Gail has to be it. Those testimonies belong side by side with John chapter 20, verse 21, and she's mounted them on cards and placed them around the social hall today so that others can read them in all detail. They illustrate perfectly what it means to understand that as a disciple of Christ, we, each of us, all of you, are infused with God's Spirit and sent by Jesus to manifest God's love, God's peace, and God's justice. Wherever, whenever, and however you can. The church is not somebody else. It's you, each and every one of you, and what you do every day and every week at home, at school, in the community, at work, and it's what you do right here at 1561 Thomas Avenue in Pacific Beach. God works through you to carry out Christ's ministry and to proclaim God's goodness. We're able to be here today, celebrating our 60th anniversary since the chartering of the church, because we are the most recent in a long line of people, stretching all the way back to the very first Easter Sunday, that have received the peace and the blessing and the commissioning of Jesus to be Christ's hand and feet, to be his heart and eyes, to be his mind and voice in the world. Our celebration is special because many have worked to make it so. The risk in speaking any list of names like this, of course, is that someone is going to feel hurt or left out because your name or someone that you love and appreciate was not mentioned. So I want to make clear that my point is not that I have given a comprehensive list of essential participants. My point is that the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church is what it is today because of each and every person's contribution, whether I named you or not. Each of those contributions brought together, unified, and animated by the Holy Spirit, Pacific Beach United Methodist Church has always been, and it will continue to be, a place of vibrant ministry because of all of the people within it who have followed Jesus to the cross and beyond, and who have been willing to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." For the sake of our future ministry, and by way of receiving God's power and accepting Christ's commission for the days and weeks and years to come, we're going to begin our time of prayer today by singing a beloved hymn. Dear God, I thank you for the people gathered here this morning, from the back row to the front row, each of them having given so much in dedication, service, worship, talent, time to you and to your ministry, to your kingdom. We pray today that your Spirit would work among us, now and in the future, with power and might, so that we might be for the world what Christ Jesus has been for us. We join our voices to pray together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.